Attention this morning to the Gospel according to Mark in the 7th chapter. And read to you from verses 24 through 30. That's Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman, which was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs eat under the table. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. My mind this past week has continued to be in the first four books of the New Testament, the books that we often refer to as the Gospels, the four Gospels of God's Word. And my mind this morning is particularly upon a subject that is approached in these four books, and it's a subject that I've preached on before from other places in the Bible, but if the Lord will be with us this morning, I think particularly I'd like to speak upon blessings that we receive by the faithfulness of others. Blessings that we receive by the faithfulness of others, particularly the others being our family, our friends, and people that we're around, family, friends, co-workers even, if the Lord will be with us to approach that subject, is blessings that we receive by the faithfulness of others. You know, if we remember, there's several stories. If there's a certain theme that you could carry to many different places in God's Word, it would be that you can see that there were many throughout God's Word that were blessed for the sake of others. We could go back to the book of Genesis and we can read about the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that the Lord delivered just Lot. That the Lord delivered Lot. The Lord remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. It was not because of the faithfulness of Lot that the Lord delivered Lot. God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. There's one example from the Old Testament of a man being blessed to be delivered from the destruction of a city because God remembered somebody else, and God saw the faithfulness of somebody else and delivered another man. You know, if you go further on to the book of 1 Samuel, what you'll read is that David sought and said, "Is there any of the house of Jonathan that I may bless for his faithfulness?" And they told him about his son named Mephibosheth. And the Lord put it upon David's mind to give Mephibosheth a seat at the king's table because of the faithfulness of his family member. There's a theme that's carried throughout God's Word, and that is that we can be blessed by the faithfulness of someone else. Here we read about a woman that has come to the presence of the Lord Jesus. And the Scripture says that he came into a house and he would that no man would know that he was there. You know, we also, as we read throughout these first four books, another thing that you and I need to realize is that we read about the Son of God who was 100% God and 100% man. In God, he could, through God, as God, he could do anything that he chose unto himself to do. But as man, he was also had the he was tired. He was one who was hungry because he was man just as much as he was God. And here you have a story that the Scripture tells us that he went into a house and he sought that no man, he wished that no man would know he was there. If you'll remember, the Lord boarded a ship with his apostles and he there laid his head down because he was tired. He was tired. And I tell you, here you read that he went into a house and he wouldn't that no man was know it was there so that he could rest for a little while. But he didn't receive the rest that he desired because there was a woman who had heard about him being there, and she had a daughter with an unclean spirit. She had a daughter with an unclean spirit. Now I know last week, and you say, "Brother Will," and I can tell you that I've heard many times. The saying is that you can get crossed up in trying to re-preach the week after what you preached the week before. I'm not going into, again, the presence of what it means to be have an unclean spirit or anything like that. But here, it was just last week we spoke upon the unclean spirits that goeth out of men and that the Lord heals them. Here you've got, again, another example. But you don't have the literal person who has the unclean spirit that came to the presence of God to have them cast out. You've got her mother that came to him. And the desire that the unclean spirit will be cast forth from the presence of her daughter. Here, because of the faithfulness of a mother, you have the Lord intervening and casting forth an unclean spirit out of her daughter. I tell you, you know, as I stand before you this morning, I wonder how many times in my foolishness of my youth that I have mamas and grandmamas praying for me. That I never even knew and never even exercised the sense to do it for myself. But as I look back and I see the Lord intervening in time and time again, in times where my life should have been taken from me, that I should not be standing before you today, that I believe it was because of the prayers of faithful people that the Lord spared me. And here you've got the Syrophoenician woman coming and she falls down at the feet of the Lord. And she says, "My daughter hath an unclean spirit." She's desiring for this unclean spirit to be cast forth from her daughter. And I tell you, the Lord responded to her as a Gentile woman said, "It is not meet to take the Lord's blessings and cast them unto dogs." I tell you, as you and I read that, the thought may cross our mind, boy, that's strong language. You better believe it is. But that was the mindset that the Jewish nation had towards those Gentile people. And the Lord was about to show them something about this Gentile woman. Because not only was she one that had confidence that the one that could answer, the one that she needed to answer her prayers was present in her midst, she had the desire to continue and to not just walk off whenever it was not granted upon her first petition. You know, you and I, whenever we pray for things, does the thought ever cross our mind that, well, I've prayed for it, and that's it. I've prayed for it one time. I've asked, I've petitioned one time, and that's it. I tell you, that's not enough. It's not that the Lord can't answer after one. It's just that the Lord, we read also throughout God's Word that the Lord tries the hearts of men to see just how much you desire for Him to intervene on your behalf. Just how much you desire for Him to be present in your life. And the Lord here has said that He said it's not meet to take the Lord's blessings and to cast it in the dogs. He said even the dogs eat from the crumbs from under the master's table. She said all I want is just a few crumbs. You know, we find ourselves many times asking for the whole table full, for all the table full. But I tell you, she's just desiring a few crumbs. Do you know that just a few crumbs from God can soothe every bit of hunger that you've got? Every just a little bit, just a small crumb from God will fill you. But she says, even the dogs eat of the crumbs from the master's table. She didn't leave whenever he gave her the first response, and that is that I'm not going to give you that what you asked for. She continued to petition on the behalf of her daughter. Blessed by the faithfulness of another. Her daughter was blessed because that mother said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him over and over and over on behalf of their loved ones. I tell you, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of my mother. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of my grandmothers. And I know that they prayed for me. I know that they've lifted up petitions for me on my behalf, and that I've been delivered because of their prayers for me. And unless I'm madly mistaken, I believe there's others seated here that can say the same, that the Lord has blessed me for the prayers of those that have been offered up that love me. I tell you, we need the prayers of those that we love. You and I praying unto God is good. I'm not discouraging that. But I tell you, you and I need others to pray for us. You and I need others to pray for those in our congregation that stand in need of God to intervene on their behalf. Blessed because of the faithfulness of others. This daughter didn't come in and of herself. She's not like the man that stood up in Mark chapter 1, and that petitioned unto the Lord to have his unclean spirit delivered out there, come to torment us. She's not like the one that came from the tombs, that came and fell and worshiped at the feet of the Lord. She had to have somebody intervene on her behalf. And I tell you, the Lord heard the cry of the one that intervened. Blessed for the sake of another. The scripture says that, go thy way, thy daughter is whole. Blessed because of the faithfulness of a family member. A family member. I tell you, we can flip over two chapters to the 9th chapter of the book of Mark. You'll see again another account that the scripture records and teaches us about one having an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. Obstacles to fellowship with the Lord. Obstacles that are present in their life. Troubles that they have in their life. Whatever it may be that represents something that the Lord is something that stands in the way of them walking with the Lord. An unclean spirit. Try the spirits to see if they be of the Lord, is what the scripture says. There are spirits in this world that are not of the Lord. You know, a lot of people will say, well, if it makes you feel merry, if it gets you to tapping your foot, then it's a good spirit. No. I'm not saying that everyone that makes you do that's a bad one. I'm just telling you that's not what you look for to determine whether or not something is a godly spirit or ungodly spirit. You look to that which is in agreement with this book to determine whether or not it's a godly spirit or an ungodly spirit. There are spirits that exist in this world. There's a presence of beings in this world that are trouble for the children of God. And this unclean spirit that was present here had taken a hold of a man's son, and he brought that boy to the apostles. Says over in Mark chapter 9, if I start reading in verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? I tell you, I see here a leader figure coming to intervene on behalf of his disciples. They're having some trouble here with the questions that the scribes are offering forth. And I tell you, whenever you and I have trouble in this life, whenever we're troubled by the hounding of this world, we've got one that'll come and they'll intervene on our behalf and help us. And here you've got the one, he walks up in the midst. You know, this same one that we see that is walking on the earth, that Syrophoenician woman came to, the same one that walked up in the midst here, the same one that we'll read about here in a few minutes that will intervene in other parts, even though he's not literally as a fleshly foot walking this earth, he's every bit just as close as he would be as he is if he were right there with us, with his foot right there with us. He's present with us. He'll come and intervene on our behalf. And here he sees his apostles. He sees them being hounded by the scribes, and he comes to intervene on their behalf. And the reason why they're being questioned by the scribes is because the things in which they've done in other places, and that is that they're driving out the unclean spirits, is there they have not accomplished it in this case. There's a man that's in their midst that they were not able to drive forth the spirit from. He says in the next verse, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I asked to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now it's very important for us to realize that there were instances in the powers that were given by God to those apostles to cast forth those spirits out. But in this case, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. There's a reason why that the Lord told them, I believe it's over in Luke chapter 10, the 20th verse. He said, notwithstanding, rejoice not in these things that ye have, that the unclean spirits are subject unto you. He says, rejoice not that the unclean spirits are subject unto you, is what he told his apostles, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. There's a reason why he told them that, and that is because there was going to be times whenever those powers that you have will not be fulfilled anymore. Will not be fulfilled. And he told them that. He said, rejoice not in this, that the spirits are subject unto you. They came to him and said, even the spirits are subject unto us. They were amazed that they could do such powerful things. They came to the Lord and told him that. He said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. Because those things are things that have a term on them. He said, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. That doesn't have a term on it, does it? That's something that's solid and true, and it's going to try the test of time. It's going to be just as true if we're here another million years as it was 2,000 years ago that whenever the Lord spoke it. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. I tell you, they're already there. You know, some would teach us that your names become written when you make a public profession, when you do something. But I tell you, whenever you read about a book that was written, you read about it being written before the foundation of the world. And the Lord stood here and said that rejoice rather that your names are written. They're there. Your names are written in heaven. But this particular multitude that had gathered and were arguing with the scribes and were arguing with his apostles there, they said that, and the man stood up and said he brought his son to him. So brought his son to him. And they couldn't unclean. They couldn't remove the unclean spirit from him. The next verse says, he answereth and saith unto them, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. How long shall I be with you? You know, whenever we read that the Lord blesses the unclean spirits to be removed from us, it's because of the faith of those that either brought them to the Lord, or either the faith of those that brought themselves unto the Lord. And here you've got the reason why it didn't work is because they didn't have faith in the process that the Lord had set up. Oh, faithless generation. Does that sound familiar? There's a lot of people today that don't have faith in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to do what the Lord set it in here in this world to do. They don't have faith anymore in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to save those that believe. By the foolishness of preaching, he saved those that believe. The way of the Lord is the best way, and you and I need to trust in it. There's a lot of people today that don't have faith in that way anymore. They says it needs something else. You better change it. You better add unto it. You better do it this way. You better have this. You better have that. I'll tell you what I'll have and what I'll take over and over again is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I don't want to be charged with being a faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? The same warning still stands to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want the presence of the Lord to be with you, you better do it His way. How long shall I be with you? And that is to preach the gospel to the young and to the old, and pray that God would bless the words of the mouth to go and to touch the hearts of the children of God so that they would believe that which is set forth in this word. And I believe it. I believe it to be the best way, because it's the Lord's way. I tell you, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How long shall I be with you? Bring him unto me, is what the Lord says. I'm about to do something. Bring him unto me. And that man brought his son unto the Lord. And here we read that another again, I'm going to tell you before we read it, here we read again that one was blessed because of the faith of another. We read, if we continue to read, he said, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tarried, and he fell on the ground and welled foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I tell you, even in the presence of the Lord, even at the maximum capacity that we have here in the flesh, you and I still have doubt here in this world, because we're not perfectly glorified in the presence of our Lord in heaven. You and I are in this flesh. Help thou mine, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And the Lord says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the scripture says that spirit was removed from him. I tell you, here we read that the Lord intervened because of the faith of his daddy. Faithful family members. Being blessed because of the faith. I tell you, over and over again, you and I in this life may come to the stage where we've got a child that doesn't do as we believe that they should do, that doesn't follow in the way in which they know they should do. And I tell you, what should you and I do? Should we just wash our hands up and say, I give up? There's nothing else left to do. Or should we follow the pattern that is given here in God's Word and pray unto God and say, Lord, intervene. Lord, because of my prayers, answer my prayers, hear my prayers, and intervene and cast forth and become a presence in the life of my dear loved one. I tell you, the scriptural precedent would be for you and I to pray. For you and I to pray for God to intervene. Because I tell you, there's things that you and I, Scripture says, all things are possible unto him that believeth. And why is that? Because you and I believe in the arm of the mighty arm of the hand of God and on his intervening power, and that he can change things in people's lives. I believe it. I believe my life will speak for the testimony of it, that the Lord can change people. He changes us in the new birth and gives us the capacity to be able to follow him. And whenever we go astray, we follow a God and believe in a God that is able to straighten our paths again and direct us so that we may walk again with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you, there's not a one in this world I'd rather walk with than him. Scripture says, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend. We've read about interventions of faithful family members intervening on behalf of their loved ones, praying unto God for something to be done. You know, we could go also to the case of Jairus' daughter back in Mark chapter 5. Jairus' daughter lay sick and she was dead. But who was it that came on her behalf? Did Jairus' daughter get out of the bed and come to the Lord? No, it was Jairus that came to the presence of God and said, I beseech thee, come to my home and lift my daughter. Who was it that brought the Lord Jesus Christ into the house of Simon Peter's mother-in-law? Tell you what, son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws mom-in-laws and daddy-in-laws take a beating in jokes, don't they? Here and it's all right to joke and play, as long as we understand the love that should come forth in our hearts towards those that we dwell with. But here you've got the case because of Apostle Peter's faithfulness. The Lord Jesus Christ came into her home, it says in Mark chapter 1, and that his mother-in-law lay sick of a fever, and that the Lord reached over there and that he touched her and lifted her hand, and she immediately felt better to the point that she began to serve them. It was because of the faithfulness of the Apostle Peter that the Lord Jesus Christ came to the house of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Being blessed by the faithfulness of a faithful family member. What about because of friends? You know, we read today and we understand that the importance of having friends in this life. You know, let me figure out the best way to word this. It's a critical stage in the life of a young person to make sure that when they're young, that they choose good friends, that they have good friends. Now, I don't say that to the point and magnitude that a lot of people would say, well, he just got caught up with the wrong crowd. No, most of the time when you hear that, they're part of the wrong crowd too. But the important thing is, if you'll train up a child in the way in which he should go, and when he is old, he should not depart from it. If you'll teach them to stay away from that filth whenever they first come into contact with it, they won't begin to run with the wrong crowd. And not be afraid to call filth, filth. And not be afraid to call lazy parents, lazy parents. And if somebody's coming up under their owners, coming up under lazy parents that don't direct their children, it ain't a good place for your kids to be. It ain't the best place to turn your kids loose and let them go spend time at somebody's house that don't even watch their own. What do you think they're going to do with yours? You think they're going to watch yours? No, sir. They're not going to start there. Tell you what. But he says, what about being blessed because of the faithfulness of friends? Let's go to Mark chapter 2 and read how one was blessed because of the sake of friends. Tell me the gospel doesn't touch on things that the youth need. They need to hear that. They need to hear the importance of having good, faithful friends. He says again in Mark chapter 2 that again he entered into Capernaum. And after some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. You know, I've been to some meetings in my time where there was no room for anybody else in the house. And whether or not you're in a small house or a big house, it's a good sight to see when there's no more room for anybody in the house. I remember I went to an association meeting out in Macomb, Mississippi about 5 years ago. And for the Friday night meeting, the windows had to go up. And there were people standing outside the window to hear the songs and the preaching of the gospel. I want to tell you, as far as I know, when it was so loud inside, I know they had to hear it down the road. I know they had to hear it. I've talked to Sister Estelle about the song services that they used to have years ago up in the mountains at Tickenetley Church. And how back then, when there wasn't any way to cool the place unless you let the windows up, that all throughout those mountains you could hear the songs of the saints that just echoed off those mountains up there. I don't know if it was a zoning violation back then to have a noise ordinance and to have people singing, but I tell you, I bet most of the folks in that part of the country and in the Lord's country up there rejoiced to hear those hymns then. But the scripture says that this was a place where the Lord met, and it wasn't any room in the house, and he preached the word unto them in that house. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. That meant that four carried him, sick of the palsy, and he was born of four. They carried their friend upon their shoulders to come to the place where they knew their friend could find some help. I tell you, these are the type of friends I want. I want friends that whenever I need help, and they know that there's one and only one that can help me, that to the point that they would bear me upon their shoulders. I've had a friend tell me that before. He said, I'll carry you on my shoulders across the Jordan River if I have to myself. And I want to tell you what, to hear somebody say that, it doesn't matter if you say, well, I knew that about him already. To hear somebody give you that sort of counsel and give you that sort of love, it means a lot. That means I'll carry you. I know that right now you're down and out. You're sick of the palsy and you can't walk yourself. But I'll bear you upon my shoulders to get you back where you need to be in the presence of God, which was born before. And the scripture says that he went and they could not come nigh unto him for the press. That means there was no more room to bring him in the house. It says they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. Here's the key sentence. When Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. That's plural. I tell you what, whenever we're sick sometimes, this world can have us so discouraged to the point where maybe we can't say that the Lord looks upon our faith. But if the Lord will bless us to have friends in this world that will look after us, He'll see their faith. The Lord saw their faith. Saw their faith. That was the ones that were bearing them upon their shoulders. When the Lord saw their faith, it says, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. I tell you, when the Lord saw their faith, when the Lord saw the faith of these friends, it said, our friend stands in need and I'm going to carry him. I tell you, the scripture says that a friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times. They love their friend enough to say, I know it's crowded. I know it's crowded. I tell you what, if you go to the ways of this world and they find out how crowded it is at a bar and a lounge, it wouldn't matter to them. That'd even give them all the more admonition to want to go and be around that building. And I tell you, whenever the Lord be in the house, I tell you, it ought to be a crowded place. And not that you and I would just seek to put warm bottoms on the pew, but I tell you, whenever the Lord's in a place, we ought to seek to fill it. That's the reason why I've charged and encouraged you. Invite people to come to the meeting. Don't depend upon your pastor. Don't depend upon other ones to put out the notice and say, well, I thought y'all were going. You get on the phone and invite people and let them come see what it is when the Lord blesses a man to stand and to preach the gospel unto the people of God. I tell you, here he says that they born him and they carried him to him because of the faith of their friends. Jesus saw their faith and he healed him. He healed him. There's people in this world need healing. Need healing from sin. And it doesn't mean that they need the new birth, that you and I are going to carry them to the Lord and say, Lord, regenerate this one. That's not what I'm calling upon. Y'all know better than that. I'm calling upon the Lord to forgive them of the sins, their conscience cleansing. You know, one of the things that you and I need to understand in this world is that we need the Lord to cleanse us of our conscience from the sins of our past. We need Him to cleanse us from the conscience of the sins that others have committed so that we can move on and forgive them as we know that Christ, as we know that God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. I tell you, we need friends. We need faithful friends. Scripture teaches us that because of the faith of family, that the Lord will deliver us. Scripture teaches us that because of the faith of friends, that the Lord will deliver us. What about people we work with? What about people we consider to be our co-workers? People that work for us, people we work for. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 8. Says in verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Who came to the Lord on behalf of the one that was in need? It was a servant. It was a servant that was in need, and the master came to the Lord. God's blessed me in my working days, and those started a lot earlier than what people's start today. From the time I was 12 years old, I began on my daddy's farm to work in a full-time capacity to the point where it was expected that if I didn't have anything else to do, that I was there. Bless me to have a godly employer that not only sought for the dollar, but sought for the well-being of those that worked for him and cared for him. I tell you what, that's a blessing that a lot of people don't have here in this world. A lot of people that work for other people, those folks that they work for could care less whether or not their family went without and starved to death, or whether or not they were able to go to the house of God whenever they were meeting. They could care less about such demands that the Lord has asked for you and I to tend to. They could care less about how you get it done. They don't care. They don't care. But here you've got a centurion. The scripture says, and he says in the next verse, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Well, I tell you what. He says, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. A lot of people wonder and plead unto God and say, God, why haven't you come into my home? Why haven't you done these things to intervene and help where we stand in need of help? He answers here and says, I'm not worthy to have you to come under my roof. Step one would be, if you desire for the Lord to help you, is to first of all realize that you're not worthy of His help. That might get your petition to the point where you're fixing to get it answered, and that is to realize that in and of yourself, you're not worthy of God's help. Well, I tell you what, I hope that didn't stomp the life out of anybody here. I hope we all already understand that we're not worthy that God would bless us. We're not worthy to go to heaven with Him. We're not worthy to be seated in His house today. We're not worthy of His blessings. I'm not worthy that thou would come into my home. But speak thy word only, and thy servant shall be healed. What confidence that he had in the almighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak your word only, and my servant will be healed. He says, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto thee, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. Upon the people that were supposed to have the confidence because of what they had experienced and seen, that you and I know to be the Old Testament deliverances of God to the people of Israel, they were supposed to be the ones that had the faith. And the Lord said, I have not found this faith, no, not in Israel. But here you've got a centurion. You've got one that is not of Israel that has come and made a petition and said, Lord, speak thy word only, and thy servant shall be healed. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now verses 11 and 12 right there, that's a whole sermon. I can't preach it this morning, but I've preached on it, I believe, twice. And if you want us to go fish in the archives, we can find it. And you can see there that that's talking about the Gentiles coming from the east, north, south, east, and west, and coming and inhabiting the blessings that previously the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had inhabited. That means that the Gentile people were grafted in into the knowledge and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to God Almighty. And He told them that because of their lack of faith, you'll be driven, and there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You'll be driven from the kingdom. You'll no longer have the fellowship that you previously enjoyed. But what happened to the servant? Because of the centurion's intervening on his behalf, the Lord looked and answered his prayer and healed that servant. You know, if we go over to the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, you'll read about a time that was a very stressful, I guess, to put it mildly, a stressful time upon the church that God had constituted, that the Lord had constituted, following upon the thought that we can be blessed by the faithfulness of others, blessed because of faithful family, blessed because of faithful friends, blessed because of faithful people that we work with. What about blessed because of faithful brothers and sisters at the house of God? What about blessed because of our faithful brothers and sisters that we worship the Lord with? We read that the Apostle Peter was imprisoned. And he, of course, is imprisoned shortly after James, the brother of John, one of the sons of Zebedee, one of the sons of thunder, had been beheaded. History says beheaded. Here it says he was killed with the sword. We know that that decapitation was a form of capital punishment back then. And it says that after he was beheaded, after he was killed with the sword, that the Apostle Peter found himself in prison, found himself in chains. It says in verse 5 of Acts chapter 12, but Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Those faithful brothers and sisters of the church prayed for this one that was in need. I tell you what, not only do we see that their prayers were answered in the form of, you and I are familiar enough with the story to know what happened shortly thereafter. The doors of the prison were open, the chains were loosed, and the Apostle Peter walked out and he knocked on the door. And when the prayer group came, and one from the prayer group came, and they were surprised that it was the Apostle Peter at the door. But he came and he knocked on the door and they let him in. But we read that before he was loosed, that he was sleeping bound to those two soldiers. Their prayers were heard from the form of the Lord blessing those prison doors to open and for this their dear brother to be released. But not only that, he had sweet peace while he was in prison. The Lord even blessed him to have sweet rest while he's tied to two soldiers who are unified in the same government that just beheaded his fellow brother. To call those times stressful in the church, I think, is a mild statement, is it not? I tell you, these were faithful prayers of the saints that were offered on behalf of their dear brother that was in prison. I tell you, I don't have a better place to go with the petition that I may need, a prayer request that I need, than to the house of the living God. Because I believe with every ounce of my being that I worship with praying people. That I worship with people that not only pray with the utterances of their mouth, but they believe with every ounce of their heart that God Almighty is going to hear those prayers and that the Lord will bless them and that the Lord will bless me. Take care of my need. Take care of the needs of others. Let's go to James chapter 5 and I'm going to close here. Blessed because of the faithfulness of others. And following up with that last train of thought, prayers and the faithfulness of loved ones, being blessed because of the faithfulness of our friends, being blessed because of the faithfulness of people that we work with. You know, there's people I work with that they probably are not interested in the Primitive Baptist. And I don't say probably from the standpoint of saying that I don't know. I know that they're not real interested because we talk about it a good bit and it's just not their cup of tea. And that's fine with me. But I believe they belong to God by grace. Because I believe that the Lord's blessed me to come into contact with people that bow their heads and thank the source of their nutrition that they have laying before them that day. It may not be what they believe that the Scripture teaches us to worship, but I believe they're God-fearing people. I believe they're faithful people. I believe whenever I hear them outside talking about the ones in the community that stand in need of prayers, and then they come in there and they knock on my door and say, "Let me tell you about this need that I have. Can you pray for them?" I believe that God's blessed me to have people that I'm surrounded by that believe in God, that are faithful faithful praying people. And the last being the prayers of the church. It says in verse 13 of James chapter 5, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Prayers of the church. I got time to make mention very briefly that the oil here, in my opinion, does not provide any spiritual relevance. The oil is a symbol of the medicine that they had in that day. The ointments and oils that they used during the time in which this was written was the medicine that they used at the time that this was written. And what I believe that verse there is teaching us is to call for the elders of the church for prayer and to provide also, in addition to that, the best medicine that is on hand. I believe in the power of prayer, and I don't think that the Lord stands in need of medicine to intervene and to bless somebody. But I also am not one that believes that God is not in the hand of modern day medicine and that you and I should not utilize it where God has blessed us to be able to have it. We have, you know, we constantly talk about the dilapidated state of our country today. And there's a lot of that that you and I need to say amen and amen to. But one of the things that you and I should continually be thankful for is the state of that God has blessed us to be as far as being able to cure diseases and heal people of infirmities that years ago led somebody to a miserable life and even death that you and I now have cures for today. That's a blessing from on high. I believe it with every ounce of my being. And we should be thankful for those things. We should utilize them where God would bless us to be able to do so. But that's only one half of the solution. You've got the medicinal solution here in this verse. And you also have the prayer that the Lord has called for to intervene and to bless those that are sick. Let them call for the elders of the church. You know, the Scripture teaches us the principle that it is okay to have more than one elder as a member of the church. It never teaches us that there's any more than one pastor, but it does teach us that, you know, in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul called for the elders of Ephesus, to Miletus, to come and to hear his charge. There was more than one elder in that church, but there's never anywhere in Scripture where it teaches that there was more than one pastor of a particular church. You know, it says in the next verse, "And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another. Or pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." What is the setting here? The setting is the church. The setting, it's not given here on an individual basis. He's set forth the setting as any sick among you, let him call for the elders. He's not talking about the old people in the community. He's talking about the people who occupy the office of bishop or elder in the church. And who is he saying for those to pray whenever they're in need? He's calling upon the church to do this act and to pray for those that stand in need. If you have a fault, well, I tell you what, that's a humbling thought, is it not? People say, "Well, you mean to tell me we're supposed to just get up here and confess every fault that we've got?" No, it just means that when you can, in and of yourself, come to the conclusion, I cannot do this by myself. There's not a thing wrong with somebody standing up and say, "I need the prayers of those I love. I need the church to pray for me. I've got a fault that I cannot overcome. And I need the prayers of the people of God to bless me to overcome this. Confess someone to another. Pray for one another. Being blessed because of the faithfulness of others. I'm thankful to know that I don't stand. I know we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Scripture teaches us the principle of that. And no, that's not talking about the final judgment day. That's talking about day by day we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that the Lord knows what you and I do. He knows it. And it is based upon an individual basis that He knows what you've done, what you've thought. But you and I don't stand in the challenges of this world upon our own two feet. And God has never required of you and I to march through this world and say, I can do it in and of myself and I can do it alone. You and I need to recognize that the Lord can work through other people. And I tell you, it's a humbling thought that you and I need to have, that you and I need the faithfulness of other people to be delivered from the things in which trouble us here in this world. You need me. Now I tell you what, I've been here long enough. If I'd have said that the first week I was up here, I tell you what, the church been like, who? I've been up here long enough. You need a pastor. The Lord gave that to the people of God for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. You need a pastor. You need one another. You need the church. I tell you, for you and I to get the impression that we can just march through this world and that we don't stand in need of anybody else to help us in times of need is a high-minded idea. And I tell you, pride cometh before a fall. Pride cometh before a fall. That's a prideful thought. You need the prayers of those that you love. May the Lord bless us to be able to see that it's a precedent that is set forth in this word. And what great blessings we can have because others remember us and love us and that want to help us and that we want to help one another. One of the things that attracted me to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was the love of the saints that they had one for another. That there were things that I would mention in a prayer request and I didn't do it to be secretive. I just did it just to let them know things that were going on in mine and my wife's life. That I needed them to pray for me, guide me. And all of a sudden you'd have others a couple of weeks later ask you, how are you doing with this? What did that teach me? That others are remembering and thinking about me and my need and what I stood in need of. They're praying for me. They're thinking about you. And I tell you, that's what God has blessed us to be able to have here in this world, with fellowship with the saints and the body of Christ here in this world. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning. If there's any here who... We'll leave the microphone on and make sure we get that. If there's any here who desires a home with Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, and you carry a burden to be a member here with this body of believers, I pray that you would come forward as we sing this hymn this morning.
Have faith in God, make no pathways on the wind. He sees and knows all the way you have tried. Never alone, nor the least of His children. Have faith in God.
He cannot fail. He
He's all.